Let us pray.
Lord, once again, we ask that you would have us hear only what we would be destined to hear by you and see only what you would have us see. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew. By the way, all the scriptures are in Matthew today. But there's still a bunch. So we're going to start with the gospel reading for today, Matthew 15, and we're going to begin with verse 21. Matthew 15, 21. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Now, this is a very hard scripture because it seems to me, as it seems to many people, that Jesus is being pretty darn insensitive here to this poor woman. But there's a couple of things to keep in mind, and we're going to get to that in a second. Go backwards to Matthew 14. And we're going to start with verse 13. This is the feeding of the 5,000. "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' Jesus said to them, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They replied, 'We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who were about 5,000, and those who ate, excuse me, were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Where this miracle happens is in Galilee, all right? Where this miracle happens, the feeding of the 5,000, this happens in Galilee. This is in the nation of Israel proper. These are Jews. These are Hebrews that he feeds here, right? At least predominantly. That's where he's at. But now, I want you to go back to Matthew 15, and I'm going to start with verse 28 and then continue on. "Then Jesus answered her, 'Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed instantly. After Jesus had left that place, he passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he went up to the mountain where he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he cured them, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.' The disciples said to him, 'Where are we to get enough bread in the desert to feed so great a crowd?'" These are the same disciples who just fed 5,000, remember? "Jesus asked them, 'How many loaves have you?' They said, 7 and a few small fish. Then, ordering the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to the crowds. And all of them ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Those who had eaten were 4,000 men besides women and children. After sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. So here we have this placement of this woman, this Canaanite woman. We have this placement of this woman right in the middle of these two stories of Jesus feeding, miraculously feeding thousands with a tiny amount of food. Okay. The first place that he does this is in Galilee. The second place that he does this after this Canaanite woman is in the area of Tyre and Sidon, which is an absolutely not Jewish place. Okay. This is a place of Gentiles almost exclusively. This Canaanite woman was definitely not a Jew because she's identified by Matthew as a Canaanite woman, right? Now, the first thing that I think is important here is to keep in mind is that when the woman first started calling out, Jesus does nothing. He says nothing. He does nothing. No response whatsoever. How many people, by a show of hands, have called out to God and felt like they got no answer whatsoever? It's okay, because they all should probably go up, because almost all of us at least have been there. Okay. You are among all of us. The same thing happened to this Canaanite woman. Jesus was right there. Jesus hears her. And he does nothing. He doesn't even speak. Then his disciples come and say, Lord, please send her away. Right? Jesus' response to the disciples is, I have come for the lost sheep of Israel. Then the woman comes to him herself. And I'm going to go back to that scripture, what's read and what is said. Beginning with verse 25, Matthew 15. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. There's a couple of things here to keep in mind historically. The word that's used here for dogs is a word that is fairly new to the Jews at the time. Because up until this point in time, the purpose of dogs, the existence of dogs, was not as a domesticated animal. For the Israelites, dogs were what the scavengers. They cleaned up the mess. They cleaned up the garbage. They barked when there were people around, when they got startled. But there was no such thing as domesticated in-home dogs. They were outside the camp. They were outside the city, taking care of the garbage. But in this particular case, Jesus is using a word, little dogs or little puppies. Now, this is a word that came into Israel's understanding from the Romans, because the Romans did keep dogs as pets. So in this particular case, we see Jesus in an area, the Decapolis area, which is a Roman place, which is a Gentile place, and he's referring to this woman as a little dog. Okay. Now, I think some might make a mistake of saying, well, this was an affectionate term. It wasn't a slam. That's not correct. That's just incorrect. This was a slam. Everybody in Israel, all the Jews, thought that everybody outside of Israel was lost. Second citizens. There was one nation that was chosen by God. That nation was Israel. Everybody else were dogs. Now, Israel referred to dogs like dogs. In this particular case, like the original dog, junkyard dogs, in this particular case, Jesus refers to her as a dog that's a pet. The distinction here is between the children that sit around the table, which are the Israelites in this particular case, what we're talking about, the children that sit around the table, as opposed to the Gentiles, the dogs, that don't have a seat at the table. You with me so far? This is a hard thing. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the Prince of Peace. This is Jesus, right? Love himself. And he's calling this woman a dog. But what is her response? What would your response be? What would my response be? Excuse me, sir. I'm not a dog. But what is her response? It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Some translations say, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. Now he calls her faith great. But he doesn't call everybody's faith great, does he? Let's look at a couple of places where he has very little patience for the faith of his own disciples. And he calls their faith little. Matthew 8. Start with verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, Matthew 14. Let's start with verse 22. Remember, he's calling his disciples ye of little faith before. He's doing the same thing here, Matthew 14, 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat and the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And that, by the way, that last one, that's in between the feedings too. That's before the Canaanite woman and after the original feeding. So what is he saying to this Canaanite woman? What is he saying to this Canaanite woman that is so, that we can take so offensively, that we are able to take such offense at, that many people have taken offense at, that particular little excerpt? What is it that Jesus said that was wrong? Jesus didn't say anything that was wrong. He can only say the truth. So what he said to her was true as any words that have ever come out of any mouth ever. Every word that Jesus ever said was as true as any words that have ever come out of any mouth ever. Why do I believe in Noah? Because Jesus talked about him. Why do I believe in Jonah? Because Jesus talked about him. I don't care what anybody else thinks about him. Jesus called her a dog, and she agreed. And in so doing, she proved that her faith was greater than all of his disciples. All of his disciples were absolutely sure that they were chosen. They were the sons of Abraham. The Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes said the same stuff. This woman, this Canaanite woman, who had nothing going for her, no birthright. Pretty incredible that Jesus calls her a dog, because Jesus had two women in his own genealogy. One was Canaanite and one was Moabite. Rahab and Ruth. So did he mean that nobody was able to reap the benefits of God on earth? No, because her daughter was healed. The message to us here is that when Jesus speaks, the truth that he speaks to us is the truth. Whether we like it or not, it is the truth. And what position this woman, can you imagine what would have happened if she had said, hold on a second, I'm not a dog. That's a Jewish thing. You guys think we're all dog, and had fought that fight. What if she had held tightly to her rights? What if she had held tightly to other people's thoughts of her? You're not allowed to say that because it hurts my feelings. What if she had held tightly to that? Well, the short answer is, without identifying the truth that she was lost and that she had nothing of value at all for him, that she was nothing but desperate, if she had argued that point, her daughter would have been demon-possessed still. She owned up to exactly the truth. The truth is that our righteousness is as filthy rags. The truth is that if I find sin in you, then I have to immediately, as soon as I spy the speck in your eye, that means my goal is to assume that I have a log in my own. Christianity has pushed Christians away for as long as Christianity has been Christianity. Read the New Testament. Look at what Paul talked about. Look at what Revelation says about the seven churches. Christianity has been trying to push other people away the whole time. It is only when we seek His face, it is only when we have the mind of Christ that we see that what the disciples couldn't see. Even after the resurrection, Peter had to have a dream where he argued with God. I'm not supposed to eat this. What do you mean? All of the Jewish Christians had to be convinced that sending out the word to the Gentiles was just and right and scriptural and foretold. Even after Jesus went and fed the Israelites and fed the Canaanites. Even after all of that, his own disciples had to have it smacked right in their forehead. I'm so glad because I am the same way. As be careful when you stand, lest you fall. As soon as you begin to think that you're standing on your own rock, that rock's going away. Because your rock is nothing. My rock is nothing. He is the rock. That's the only one that we have to stand on. That rock has become a stumbling stone for some. Amen? This is a hard word, but it's a hard word because what we see Jesus doing first is simply ignoring her. Then he says what his goal is supposed to be, right? This is not the first time this has happened, by the way. You remember when Jesus' mama said at the wedding, the first miracle, and he tells her, woman, it's not my time. I love that he says woman. Woman, it's not to his mother. I'm not going to do that. It's Jesus. Woman, it's not my time. And then she ignores him. Do what he says. And he does it anyway out of obedience to his mother. This is not the first time that Jesus has said, this isn't what I'm here for primarily, but it is where he shows the disciples what faith really looks like. Because after this is when he tells the disciples, if you had faith, you would take this mountain and say, move it, and it would move. It's after this. The difference between this woman and her great faith, even though she was lost and a dog. The difference between her and the disciples who walked with him every single day was the fact that she knew what she was. She had a very good understanding of what she was and not an overdeveloped opinion of her own worth. Jesus emptied himself for us altogether. Everything that was in him that was holy was emptied so that he could save us. That's why we can never stand on, we can never boast on anything on our own. Because we have no power to save ourselves. We are in the water drowning with no foothold and nobody to grab us without him. We have no power. Now, there are some that get upset. Well, because he was without sin, he's able to save. Well, yeah, just like, and they get upset. Like, well, he didn't really do it the right way. He should have been a sinful man to be able to prove that he is one of us. That is an argument. It's asinine, but it is an argument. But that's the same thing as saying, well, I'm not going to reach out for your hand, Lord, on the bank, even though I'm drowning. It's cursing the person on the bank for having his feet on the bank while you're in there drowning. We have got to be the people with our feet on the bank for all of those other people that are drowning. Jesus' entire ministry was going to the lost, the poor, the lepers, the blind. He was coming against these thoughts. He said to them, beware, I'm going to read that, beware of the bread of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Lord, help me find it. I'm going to talk about that, but I'm not going to read that because I'm going to go into something else. He did say, beware of the bread of the Sadducees and Pharisees. What was he talking about? Was he talking about actual bread in the conversation of all this bread? He's talking about teaching. It's false teaching. Remember when the blind man was saved and his disciples asked Jesus, so who sinned, his parents or him? Remember that? And Jesus said, neither of them. He's been blind this way since birth so that God could be glorified. But they were doing the same thing we do. Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing the same thing that church people do. If somebody's going through hard times, remember I've said before, there's an old saying that the army of God is the only one that shoots and kills its own wounded. It's sad, but there is some truth in that. It's like the crabs pulling each other back down in the bucket to try to escape. That's what that is. It's comparing my holiness to yours. Like I said, as soon as I find a speck in your eye, I need to be watching for the log in mine. But anyway, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to start with 26. He's talking about those that are in power over his disciples. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you, hark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than any sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves her daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose life for my sake will find it. If you can't take being called a dog, how can you pick up a cross? Jesus was called many things. Jesus was beaten half to death, had his beard ripped out, crown of thorns, everything that happened to Jesus. He was innocent. Not only was he innocent, but everybody knew it, including the Romans. He was innocent. One of the things that we have that we consider a strength in this country is that we have rights. We have a right to free speech. We have a right to carry weapons. We have all kinds of rights that were guaranteed. I'm not saying that those are bad things. What I am saying is that none of those are in the Bible. Well, I should be able to have a gun. I'm a retired cop. I have many guns, and I know how to use them. I'm very good at them. But Jesus says, turn the other cheek. If we get up in arms about what persecutions we get, we will never see the blessing. If she had gotten up in arms about the whole dog comment, her daughter would still have been demon-possessed. Her rights would have been more important than the healing. Our rights mean nothing to God. Nothing. Our rights mean nothing to God. Being obedient to God, that's what he's about. That's what he cares about. His children's rights were violated over and 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 over. Ask the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther about rights being violated and justified by the Bible in many cases. Sin. Our job as Christians is to spread this love. It's not to spread the judgment. Our job as followers of Christ is to spread healing and sustenance, bread. That's what our job is. Our job is to let our lights shine. And when our lights shine, that is when other people get drawn to that. The Bible is really simple. How do we increase our numbers? By the word of our testimony. Testimony. Well, yours. Only you have your testimony. And that's how they did it. That's how we will do it. The formula is easy. We don't have to take church growth seminars. We don't have to read books, except the Bible. We don't have to do any of that stuff. The only thing we have to do is what was written there. And we will increase because we won't be able to help it. But it only happens when we own who we are, which is nothing without him. Amen.